Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, we're 15 minutes away from heading out to St. Joe and hearing from Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes live here on 610 Sports Radio, your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs. It'll be good to hear from number 15. We'll also hear from a couple of the rookies at 1:30, expecting to hear from Nick Bolton, Chiefs second-round draft pick, and the other Chiefs second-round draft pick, Creed Humphrey, who I think will be the starting center week one. Looking forward to hearing from all three of those individuals. And then when we hand things off to the drive 1 hour from now, Andy Reid will address the media. It's been a while. We haven't heard from Andy Reid since going back to OTAs or minicamp. So it's been a little bit, 5 weeks or so.
NFL coaches, man, they complain about how much they talk. They don't have anything like MLB managers. This is the one time I'll give MLB managers, who have to, I think, work less intense probably than like NFL coaches. But man, the talking to the media part, be like, man, didn't I just talk to you guys 2 months ago? Like, I haven't been that bad, Andy. Although a couple of things happened since then, including Frank Clark getting in some trouble. So that's probably going to be an unfun part of the job for him today.
So in 15 minutes, we'll hear from Patrick Mahomes. And in the meantime, there has been so much still coming out about conference realignment and more reports suggesting that within 48 hours, Oklahoma and Texas will officially submit their application to leave the Big 12. Ultimately, their destination, most think it could be the SEC, but that part of it at least is not a done deal. But leaving the Big 12 seems just about done. And we've talked throughout the show about where these local schools can end up, KU and K-State. I have to point out, and normally you can say, well, why are you bringing up a tweet that was sent out? But this is one of my favorite realignment rumors that are out there. And there's realignment talk is fun. And it comes from a guy named Swam, Greg Swam. And the reason why I bring it up, and Nick's shaking his head because he knows what happened in 2000.
I think his exact phrasing before the show was, this guy's name doesn't even need to be mentioned on the show.
And it doesn't. The reason why I bring it up is because he was so wrong in 2010, 2011, 2012 during realignment, and then basically vanished and then suddenly resurfaced yesterday. That's why it's great. Here's his tweet. This is moving fast. I'm getting calls, texts, and emails. I'm sure you are. Now saying Pac-12 wants to add Oklahoma State, Texas Tech, K-State, and Iowa State to go to 16 teams. That's the tweet. He's just trolling us, right? He also said Texas Tech was joining the Pac-12 in 2011 and said they were picking them over Kansas as well. Oklahoma State, Texas Tech, K-State, and Iowa State. Why would the Pac-12 choose those four? Unless you're going to tell me on the flip side, then you're already assuming, you know, KU and somebody else has joined the Big Ten. It's laughable to me.
That seems like
it's my favorite rumor that's out there.
Least attractive teams in the Big 12, please, to join the Pac-12.
Yeah, it makes no sense.
Why would they go after some of the better ones?
Unless, again, that person believes that KU and Baylor and some of these other ones would already have homes in other conferences. Otherwise, it makes no sense that those would be. But Iowa State, frankly, Iowa State is the one even more so than some of the Iowa State one would make no sense in the Pac-12.
No, it makes way more sense in the Big 12 than it does in the Pac-12
or the Big 10. Yeah.
Well, it makes a lot of sense in the Big 12 if that existed as a conference.
Fair.
But unfortunately, it's not looking for long.
This is what's fun, though, to a certain extent about now conference realignment. Like, there's a lot at stake in people's jobs and livelihoods. I get it. It's very, in that regard, it's serious. But the fact that there's so many rumors and then guys like this will just surface randomly and act like they know what the hell is going on. It's just funny to me because, again, he was very wrong in 2012 about what was going to happen. And there's multiple tweets that show that. He didn't delete them, actually, so good for him on that. But he was very wrong.
I think the timeline's going to be faster this time. Because last time you talked about like how long it took, right? Nebraska ditched, And then, you know, Missouri was way after the fact, right? They were the later breakup of the conference when it seemed like there was even more instability when you were waiting to find out whether or not Oklahoma and Texas were going to be a part of this thing going forward. I don't think the Big 12, the rest of the member schools, are going to wait around and do that again. That's why if the report's right that says Kansas already has a call scheduled with the Big 10, that doesn't mean anything's happening there or it's going to come together. But that's why they're already having those conversations. They know they can't sit around. They can't wait. K-State shouldn't either. They should be talking to Kansas and be like, hey, why don't we do this meeting together? They're not going to just add one team to the Big Ten. What if they added two? And there's, I don't know, I guess we should have seen this coming, like it was going to come sooner. Because if you legitimately look at the conference, how many of the schools have a logical fit into other power conferences that make sense? This is why the Big 12 existed. But if Texas and Oklahoma go, you have a bunch of schools, and that includes Kansas to a point, too. They're lucky they're good at basketball, because if it was the other way, if they were having basketball,
they'd be screwed here. Yeah.
Yeah, they'd be heading to the Mountain West, would feel like a win.
And basketball is a small part of the equation, but it's not just that. It's
the revenue driven.
It's revenue, and it's the television market. That is one thing they have up on Ames, Iowa, on Manhattan, but Kansas. Like, I'm not saying they're going to end up in the Big Ten. They might be left out just like these other schools.
Like Baylor just won a national title, and they don't seem to have a logical fit for this unless the SEC was going to add even more Texas schools. Could you imagine how happy you'd make A&M then? Yeah, we're going to add Texas, and we're going to add two more, including another Texas school in Baylor. So they don't have a logical fit. You can take them all the way up to the Big Ten. That doesn't seem like a fit. And that program is in better shape than some other people's just actual programs. Revenue-wise, it's not. You said Kansas is third. There aren't a lot of natural fits for Iowa State, TCU, K-State. If anything, Kansas State, you mentioned their region and, you know, where they're located and all those things and how that'll hurt them. At the very least, they should actually be kind of happy they're not in Texas. Because if you're not Texas, the SEC is not going to want to take on more Texas schools, which means you got to talk into ACC taking you as the booby prize, seeing how they're trying to recruit Texas.
If you just look on pure revenue and what these schools are bringing in, so you brought up K-State. So K-State is 48th nationally in revenue right now. KU is 28th, and it is one thing that is kind of funny on the Missouri part, because Missouri's feeling great. They're locked in. They got stability, and we all say, oh, they got more money. They do, but you realize in revenue, at least for last year, Missouri was 32nd in revenue, and Kansas was 28th. Just throwing that out there. I just thought that was kind of funny in terms of revenue last year, sure, despite having SEC money. But anyway.
Well, they split the pie less ways. Exactly. It helps when you're 10 and you've got major things.
But Missouri's in a great spot because they're set. They're in the SEC. They don't have to worry about realignment. I think we have to get past, though, the idea that, oh, this school doesn't make, like, this school, there's no way. They don't make any sense. And this is when we talk about Iowa State or KU or K-State. Because if it's going the way we think it's heading, which is four super conferences, and each conference is going to have at least 16, maybe more.
I'm still rooting for one super conference.
I know you
64.
Are. But if it's four and they're all 16 or whatever, there's going to be schools left out, yes. But there's also going to be some schools who are like, man, I can't believe they made it into the Big Ten or the Pac-12. There will be, at some point, some schools have to be chosen. Right. So the idea, like, people go through, like, there's no way that school's going there. There's no way that school's going there. There's no way that school's going there. If all the four conferences go to 16 and all of them have four spots, so essentially what, there's 12 spots available.
And these are eight member schools who are 10, I guess, when you include Texas in that.
Then some of these schools, there's going to be schools left out, but there's going to be some that you're like, man, I can't, why would they be interested in them? At some point, it's still, these were schools from Power 5 conferences prior to that. There might be one or two that these conferences view that are in an AAC and say, oh, that might be intriguing. Houston's the one, just because of the television market and the Houston TV market, the top five television market in the country. So, or top three now, I think. So
more Texas schools.
So it's fascinating to see how it's going to pan out. Nobody can sit here and tell you that they know exactly what's going to happen to K-State or KU or Iowa State. None of us can sit here and tell you that. That's what's so fascinating about it. And you said you think maybe it ends up moving along quicker. It seems like the Texas-Oklahoma part's going to move along quicker.
Which is why I think the other schools will bail. They're not going to wait for 2025 to kick around looking for their job.
They're not, but I don't know if we're going to suddenly by, 6 months from now, know where KU's headed, know where K-State's headed, or if they're staying, or where Iowa State's headed. I think it still could be gradual on that route.
Because the Big 12 might try to save itself first?
Well, just because you're going to have The Big Ten, for example, they're going to sit back and realize, all right, what are our options? Are we going to poach from the Big 12? Whatever's left from it? Are we going to also try to go and look at the Group of Five schools? These other schools do have contracts and grant of rights as well. And what schools are willing to pay the fees? I mean, Texas and Oklahoma are going to reportedly have to pay a $70 million fee. All these other schools would have to
pay if they decided to leave too.
Yeah, so that's an issue.
Though if you're Kansas and you weren't going to in a power conference, you'd be doing the same thing anyway, you know? You'd be saving the money to spend the $70 million, as crazy it is. By the way, Bruce Feldman had also pointed out that on the conference call, the one we talked about that Texas and Oklahoma didn't bother to show up to, they did discuss a 20-school merger with the Pac-12. Like, screw you guys in 16. We're just going to go to 20? I mean, travel, you got to throw out the window. Any of this, we care about our student athletes, we don't want them to go, that stuff was gone the second you let West Virginia into your conference. You know, to get to West Virginia as a student athlete, you got to fly in someplace that's 2 hours away down through the mountains.
Pittsburgh, I believe.
Before you drive to that school.
Yeah, I believe they fly into Pittsburgh a lot of times.
It's not an easy place to get to. So the second that you're making those transitions, you're doing it. I don't know if that saves the Big 12. Honestly,
that's interesting.
And the other question is, does the Pac-12 want to take that on?
Or does the Pac-12 just say, we don't need to merge with you. We'll take the two schools we're interested in, and we're good.
We don't need all of you.
You know, we'll get to 14.
Sure, sounds good to the Big 12. Save us.
Yeah, I mean, I would ask you this. If you are let's put KU
or
K-State.
Are you the Big 20 or the Pac-20? Big 20 sounds way better.
If you are KU or K-State and the option presents itself where it's like, hey, if you both are on board, again, this is not how it would go, but if you both were on board, we can join up with the Pac-12 and it being the Pac-20. Or, hey, KU, K-State, Big Ten wants both of you. I'm taking the Big Ten route. No question. If you told me that KU and K-State could find an opportunity to join the Big Ten or stay with the Big Eight that becomes the Pac-20, I'm taking the route to go to the Big Ten.
Why?
Why?
Because I were Kansas, I just think the Big Ten's a better landing.
It's a better. I think it fits them better. Now, you can make an argument for K-State, the Pac-12's a better fit. But for KU, I think, and for K-State, if KU goes to the Big Ten and you have the option to join them in the Big Ten, I think you absolutely do it in a heartbeat. I believe for Kansas, the Big Ten is just a better fit for them, both between not just geography, of course it is,
sure,
right? But also just in terms of for what they are, you know, it's a football conference, yes, but also for basketball-wise, the Big Ten would be a hell of a conference to be in on the basketball end of it versus the Pac-12. If the Big Ten's an option. If the Big Ten's not an option, then of course you'd prefer the Pac-20 versus being a Group of Five conference.
If Kansas, you hope both things are viable. If you're Kansas State, you think both things are viable because then at least it gives you leverage against the other two. Because then at least maybe the Big Ten and the Pac-12 are saying, yeah, we could use schools. We're going to let the Pac-12 get to 20? And we're sitting here, we know all the numbers don't mean anything. They're not a 10 school.
it sounded like from you, Nick, do you think the Pac-12 is a better option then?
No, not necessarily. You just seem very vehement about that.
No, I think I would also choose the Big Ten. Like, if I were Kansas and both were on the table, I think I'd choose that route.
All right, let's go up to St. Joe. They're doing a little bit different order. So we're going to hear from rookie Nick Bolton first here on 610 Sports Radio. All right, we're awaiting Nick Bolton. Well, let us know when we're good to go over there. But it was supposed to be Patrick Mahomes first, then Nick Bolton, then Creed Humphrey. They might have switched around the order. As soon as we hear on their end from Nick Bolton, we will go live up to St. Joe as it's rookie and quarterback report day. Again, we're here at 610 Sports Radio, your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Like we said, we'll be up there for every single daily training camp day there is, really starting Monday. 4 days next week, full five the following, and then we'll be there the third week there as well. So hopefully that would at least get us set up and ready to go so that we can, you know, be ready, be in that moment, and then take advantage of the fact that we are the official broadcast partner. We're going to be the only show watching practice.
Yeah, only show in the city that'll be on the air while practice is going on. I'm fired up for it, man.
While we're waiting for that for just a minute, just back on the conference realignment stuff, because it's beyond fascinating to do this. But that's if I were KU and K-State. I'd be working, you know, like, I wouldn't even mind hitching my wagon. Like, you're saying, hey, it's throwing a life preserver to K-State. But really, it's, if we've learned anything about college football, is it not that there are strength in numbers? Coming in with a plan for two schools versus coming in with a plan for one. That's why they're saying the Pac-12 thing.
Text line split,
it can be mutually beneficial.
Text line split. There's multiple people saying, no, they like the Pac-20 idea for both KU and K-State. And then there's, again, it's very split. Then the rest are saying, oh, for K-State and KU, Big Ten would be the best route.
It feels regionally way more important.
It does.
They play different styles of, Kansas State actually plays more of a style of basketball, probably closer in line with what the Big Ten does than even the Pac-12 does. Football-wise, Kansas, it doesn't matter. Get good, and then we'll have the conversation. K-State-wise, they're going to be up against a lot of big recruiting forces, but that doesn't change where they were before.
As I said earlier, these aren't two- or four-year decisions. These are you know, 50 or 100-year decisions by these conferences when they decide what to do with on the football end. There's no question. K-State is a much better football program, but these are 100-year decisions potentially, and it's a Kansas City television market that that's the one thing in your back pocket that you're hoping carries you if you're KU. And again, if K-State can tie themselves together with KU, but there's nothing that, and at least as of 2011, that says KU and K-State have to stay together. There's nothing that prevents the two from separating. There's a preference from the Kansas Board of Regents that they do, though.
We're getting ready to hear from a couple of the rookies, Nick Bolton and Creed Humphrey, here on the show, just since we're discussing that here for a minute. Do you think they're... Okay,
and
go ahead.
And let's go out to St. Joe right now. This is rookie linebacker Nick Bolton.
Making them prove it over and over again before he'll give them a lot of playing time. Has he said anything to you specifically about what you need to do to get more playing time, or any of the other coaches for that matter?
No, sir. The expectation is for me to build trust. And that comes with repetition and doing things correctly all the time. And so that's kind of the expectation I have for myself. So just got to go out there and execute every single day and just give him confidence. And then it gives myself confidence as well.
Next to Pete Sweeney. Go ahead, Pete.
Hey, Nick. I know that a lot of newcomers will rely on veterans. And I was wondering, to this point, what has it been like to work with Anthony Hitchens? Maybe what have you taken away? Have you guys talked leading into this camp?
Anthony Hitchens is one of the smartest football players that I know coming up to here. That guy, very seasoned, know what he's doing. I talk to him every day, which comes just what to bring up here for training camp, and or how to develop and how to learn the playbook. And so he's been a big help. Him, Ben, Willie's a second-year guy, but also been a great help for me as well in my development. And so I'm going to join those guys and just wait for him to get back.
Let's go next to Seren Petro. Go ahead, Seren.
Nick, the big news in college football has been Oklahoma and Texas going to the SEC. You played at Mizzou in the SEC. Mizzou made that move. I'm just curious, as a Tiger, what's your reaction to seeing that happen?
So being a Texas guy, Texas and OU joining the SEC will be excitement. I feel like that'll bring a lot of guys to compete against each other. A lot of Texas people go to Mizzou. So just bringing that competition of guys you play high school football with, that 10 OU, it's in Texas, will kind of just bring another rivalry. I feel like it'd be great for college football.
Next to Danny Wilniak. Go ahead, Danny.
Hey, Nick. Well, to kind of build on the previous question, you said that Hitchens told you what to bring to training camp. What did he tell you, and what's like number one thing that you always have to like bring with you, like camp or on road trips?
The main thing he told me was kind of just bring a TV. A lot of guys just don't bring a TV. So if you have a downtime while you're studying, going through playbook, you can watch TV, watch a little Netflix. Also just reminded me, just bring small things, highlighters, pens, pencils, stuff like that. A lot of guys forget to bring. So you have time to write notes. You can rewrite your notes at nighttime, highlighters, have everything neat and organized. And so that's kind of two big things. I got on me about the TV situation, and also that's having intangible highlighters and stuff like that. Just make sure I'm all the way prepared.
We'll go last to Matt McMullen. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, Nick. So Coach talked a lot about how OTAs, rookie camp, all that stuff, that builds a foundation for you guys. Just coming into camp, how prepared do you feel because of that time that you got around the coaches, got to get out there and learn the playbook a bit before camp started?
Yeah, talking to some guys from last year, they didn't have the opportunity to go through OTAs. And so I feel like that's very beneficial for me. I learned the playbook, being out there, hearing coaching points, being out there at the vets, trying to figure out what they do and how they do it correctly. And so that was pivotal for my growth. I love being out there every second of it. And so I feel like I can build on that and just keep developing. I feel confident that I'm at a good point, a good place with the playbook right now.
Nick, we really appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us.
All right, that's Chiefs rookie linebacker Nick Bolton up in St. Joe. His first camp in the NFL, was asked about conference realignment. He said, obviously a Missouri guy, but a Texas guy as well.
Exciting.
So he'd love it. Yeah, it sounds like he'd love Texas to join the SEC. He also mentioned the expectation that he has for camp is to build trust between him and Spags and to get some more confidence between the two there. And he said in that regard, that'll give me confidence as well. Nick Bolton, certainly a player that could have a factor this year and long-term could be the, as we discussed yesterday, eventually maybe the replacement for Anthony Hitchens.
I'll give Hitchens this. We always talk about it like Smith or Mahomes or whatever. Hitchens has been a really good tutor for those guys, at least from a willingness to try to do it. I don't know how it'll pan out with Willie Gay. I don't know how it'll pan out with Nick Bolton just yet. But he has taken those guys and clearly given them some real guidance and leadership over the last couple of years, which when you go back and you assess how you feel like the Anthony Hitchens contract went, right, the free agent signing of him, there were some early signs where he wasn't playing too well, played pretty well. And he's been on two Super Bowl appearing teams, right? So it's hard to complain about overall any signing that somebody had. But to me, that's the way I look at it. If he's going to help these other young linebackers who can be cheap replacement options for himself, by the way, replace those guys, and I really feel like we're in a better spot. I hope Bolton gets on the field. I hope Willie Gay gets on the field. I don't love the way the Chiefs have played the linebacker position over the multiple years here. I've complained about Neiman. Yeah. I've complained about whatever.
Oh, I mean, that was a huge conversation.
So, David Moss was okay
for the early portion of the season. And with the questions about pass rush this year and it depending on what you're going to see from Frank Clark on the field, is he on the field or not? Wondering if they're going to need to bring more pressure from the linebacker spot. We'll get a quick break in. Coming up next, we'll hear from Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes here on Cody and Gold.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, we're back here on Cody and Gold on this Friday. It's Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Nick Schwartz with you. Expecting to hear from Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes here in the next couple of minutes. We'll carry that live here on your official Chiefs broadcast partner, 610 Sports Radio. Also, Andy Reid, about a half hour away, he will speak at 2 o'clock as the rookies and quarterbacks reporting today in St. Joe. Training camp is here. Tomorrow, as a matter of fact, we'll have live shows starting up there in St. Joe. Jay Binkley, Dusty Likens on Saturday and Sunday. And then on Monday, we'll have our first show at 10 o'clock, right there, bright and early, ready to roll for Chiefs practice number one. First really full, I guess it's first practice really where you might start having a little bit more going on. Perhaps it stretches and all that early on for the first portion of it, but by the time we're on at 10, they'll be a little bit further in that 9:15 practice. And then we have about 15 or 16 shows we'll be doing up from St. Joe.
You have a registered car in Kansas, so can we borrow the stickers from your car for the station van? So that way we're not riding dirty.
Well, the trooper from the Kansas Highway Patrol that tweeted, probably not going to think that's a smart decision for us to just switch the tags. I'm going to go ahead and say that is against the law. Just a hunch.
Well, we'd already be is it bad because we'd be breaking two laws versus just riding with expired tags? We're really just increasing our criminal activity.
Correct.
By doing that?
It's worse than just having to have it. Right. We'd be better off just driving the 610 van on expired tags. Correct.
Okay. I was just looking for possible solutions. It is rookie report day. You had mentioned, you know, we're talking to Creed Humphrey. We're talking to Nick Bolton. I think you and I both think Creed Humphrey is probably going to start at center this year.
I do. Yeah, week one.
And, you know, I think Nick Bolton's got a chance to play some good time. I kind of hope he does, because then it means like that pick meant more than I worried it did when they had originally made it. But I'm kind of hoping that, like, when we talked to Pete earlier, I'm hoping that a guy like Trey Smith, because I've got some problems with how Brett Veach is drafted overall. I've told you we went through it. I don't know that, depending on how 2 years ago's class performs, I might start seeing him as kind of an average drafter. Not a bad one, but an average drafter overall. But if, you know, if he's going to keep finding sneaky guys in the fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh round, then it's hard for me to really argue. You found a starter in L'Jarius Sneed in what, the fifth last year or the fourth last year? If he finds a starter in Trey Smith or Joshua Kando in the next couple of years in that round again, it's going to be hard to complain, even if he doesn't get those top picks right.
Trey Smith is the candidate, if you're saying that was a mid-round or late-round pick. In his case, definitely a late-round pick that has a chance to actually make a serious impact this year, as in be a starter this year. Trey Smith's going to have to win a job, but he's in contention. He's got as good of a chance as LDT, as Allegretti, to win that right guard spot, especially with the Kyle Long injury now. And again, I think he will be on the pup list to start the season, talking about Kyle Long. If you're going through, it's hard for me to be sold that Kando can be that guy on the defensive end. I just think there's too many guys ahead of him. I get the fact that we think there could be a Frank Clark suspension. Maybe he turns out and surprises everybody during camp. I just find a hard time believing this year, in year one, that Kando has that impact. I'm not saying that a year from now, 2 years from now, that he's not a significant piece on the defensive line. I just have a hard time believing he can be that this year. And then the other guys are early picks. You're expecting your second round picks in Creed Humphrey and Nick Bolton to have an impact right away. But Trey Smith's kind of that wild card where if you're asking for two straight years, who from the mid or late rounds can have an impact in a big way? Last year was definitely Sneed. He's now your number one corner. This year, could it be Trey Smith? A lot of people are looking at him as a guy that can win the right guard job. And Andy Reid, is he willing to start multiple rookies on the offensive line? I think it's a sure thing he's starting one. How many is he going to start? Two? Is he going to go with three? I'm talking about Niang in that scenario for there to be a third rookie starter.
It's fascinating because, we obviously the offensive line is going to be one of the most key things for the entire training camp we watch. And whether Binkley wants us to give him reports on hand placement or whatever as they hit the sleds, because that's pretty much right
Binkley
in front of our
broadcast spot.
Binkley
was sounding like Trey Smith's agent this morning with Fesco in the morning when he was talking about Trey Smith.
Was he?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Just hyping him up, talking about his high school days and everything.
Did you see that? Did you hear Creed, though, that he said that Mitchell Schwartz had been helping, and apparently Schwartz had been helping, according to our guy Nate Taylor, been helping Joe Tooney and Kyle Long over the past couple of months in system two.
Good for Mitchell Schwartz. Appreciate that.
He owes them. I mean, I get it. They paid him a lot of money. He's making Kansas City his home.
He doesn't owe them anything.
But again, we talked about this a lot with quarterbacks and that. But this idea, like I talked about Hitchens with those, this idea that Schwartz isn't even under contract with them. He doesn't owe the new group of offensive linemen some duty to show them how they try to play inside this scheme, but he's going out of his way in order to do so. Probably a good sign that this team's all on the same page again. Like, I look at just like the Bills fighting over the vaccination stuff and all the DeAndre Hopkins stuff, and it's all just boiling up. The Chiefs, once again, per every year, do consistently seem like the team who at least doesn't have much infighting. And that's a massive advantage for a team. And I don't, you know, that's probably not because I go to St. Joe every year, but it's a massive advantage for a team. It's one less thing to deal with.
It's a credit to Andy Reid and certainly to a certain extent what the guys that Brett Veach is brought in. But it's a credit to Andy Reid in turn. He's certainly been a player's coach, but they kind of know how to get everybody to gel together. They know which guys are going to fit with the current group of guys that they have. And it's cool to see that Mitchell Schwartz apparently had at least had some conversations with some of these newcomers too. We knew about Joe Tooney because I think Mitchell Schwartz had brought up that he kind of helped push Joe Tooney to Kansas City a little bit. This was a couple months ago at that point in time. Creed Humphrey also said that he's been busy working at some various camps this summer. And, you know, of course, he's fired up to join the Chiefs organization, everything. But Mahomes is centers in the first couple years of his career here. I mean, it's Austin Ryder didn't have a ton of experience when he first.
He's got a visit today.
And Austin Ryder's going to be in Cincinnati, yeah, reportedly for a visit. He's still a free agent. He'll be one of those veteran guys that gets picked up. Maybe he'll be snapping the ball to Joe Burrow here pretty soon. Who knows? But Mahomes, it's not as if he's had veteran centers. He had one game, two games last year, Daniel Kilgore, right, filled in for or, you know, took the spot from Austin Ryder. Austin Ryder, when he first started with the Chiefs, had not played very much as a starter. And of course, Austin Ryder ended up starting a couple seasons here in Kansas City, was part of the Super Bowl team. And now they've decided to bring in Austin Blythe, a veteran option that can play guard as well. And then you go and spend a second round pick on a center. If you spend a second round pick on the center, the expectation he's going to be your starting center. And that's why we all feel like he's not only good enough, but when you spend that kind of draft pick on him, you're expecting Creed Humphrey to be your week one center.
I'm still kind of mad that the Raiders wised up and didn't let Rodney Hudson just get cut and come to Kansas City.
Yes, yes. That for a while looked like it was going to happen.
Because I'd feel even better about the offensive line as we headed into that. And I know that there's not like a million questions heading into training camp because the Chiefs are just so good. It's just how good can they be? And can they, you know, most teams don't get to maintain best team in football for 4 or 5 consecutive years. Even the great teams, right? Where the Patriots win on those runs. They have downsides where they're still one of the best teams in football, but not the best team in football. And there's pretty much been no argument that over the last 2 seasons, the Kansas City Chiefs have been the best team in football. Holy, both years. I know they lost the Super Bowl, but that does not mean they were not the best team in football. Just because you lose one game does not deter that. The Patriots were the best team in football the year they went undefeated. They just lost a game. It happens, but I just look at where they are, and it just feels like, you know, the offensive line, that right side, okay, maybe a little. The pass rush, most of the questions for me are on the defensive side anyway. Offensively, I'm more than convinced they're going to be better than they were last year, and they were pretty great last year. Really, all you want them to be is record-setting again, because then you can cover any defensive flaw imaginable almost. Maybe not Bob Sutton putting Justin Houston and Antonio Brown, but pretty much anything short of that. Nobody can cover that. I'll never forget that. Probably not a good time to bring up old.
Yeah, why? What are you doing? I also purposely stayed off. I also purposely stayed off Twitter last night because all
the ring?
Bucks ring crap was all over the place.
There are a lot of diamonds in that ring.
First Super Bowl ring that the top, like the top of it, comes off.
That's cool.
So you can put some coke in it?
You gonna buy one, Nick?
I'm not going to buy one, but I can at least...
You're going to buy a replica?
I appreciate the craftsmanship.
I didn't like seeing that when I saw what was 31-9 or whatever it was. I saw that on there. I was like, that's painful.
Anytime somebody has a ring that lifts off the top, I assume there's only 2 things in there, poison or coke.
Yeah, there's drugs
in
there.
I mean, that's the thing. It's just poison or drugs.
Well, poison. What else you put in
the top of my ring
hole? The 1400s? Poison?
People just carry around poison. It's way more likely there's a pouch.
Who still carries around a ring full of drugs? What world
it's more
is this?
Likely there's
rich
some
people.
There's
probably. More likely there's some powder in that ring than poison. I can. There's between the two. Yeah. I didn't. Unless you thought there was like, I thought the third you were gonna say like candy, like it was a pop, one of those
candy.
Those pop rings
like
or whatever.
A
ring, ring pops.
Emergency Tic Tac.
It's got actually a ring pop in there. It's like it actually is the same thing. There's just candy that rises up through the ring or something.
I mean, this is the only logical assumption. I'm supposed to come to at this rate, right?
The whole ring was gold and stuff, which it would have been cool if it wasn't the Bucks. If it was the Chiefs. So we'd be saying it was an amazing ring. You know how this stuff goes.
I mean,
it's pretty gaudy, but
you don't actually mean that.
It's cool looking.
Everybody's trying to one-up each other on the rings.
Remember when the Mavericks won the title and Mark Cuban said, no, we're done with rings. We're going to make crowns. And Dirk Nowitzki goes, no.
No, we're
doing rings.
No, we're not going to do that. Again, we're waiting to hear from Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes up in St. Joe as the other quarterbacks and the rookies reporting to St. Joe today for Chiefs training camp.
If you weren't going to do a ring, what would you do?
Someone said it's for, by the way, someone
title
said
belt,
it,
right?
Someone said it's for Viagra. You put the Viagra. You put the Viagra in the ring.
Title belt's the only answer, right?
Well,
scepter?
Rings you can wear places. You can't just wear a title belt to dinner.
This? Yeah. How about this? Scepter.
No.
Again.
The ring. You can carry that around.
You a wizard?
Yeah, the ring is easy. Although the ring.
Gandalf over here. Ring's walking in with a scepter.
That ring's got to be super heavy,
or like
though.
A pimp cane, you know?
That ring just is got to be extremely heavy at this point in time with what they continue to add to it. Someone says it holds Brady's lip gloss. Maybe so. They just said it holds her, and I added Brady to it. I assume they meant Brady.
I presume.
Yeah.
Don't put words in this anonymous texter's mouth.
That texter meant Brady. I'm sure he did.
Confident, right?
Yeah,
just
I feel
confident
pretty good about
he
that.
Meant that.
Maybe Bruce Arians. I don't know. No, Brady. Come on.
I'm just disappointed. I'm disappointed
Someone
it's not us seeing the Chiefs
a bracelet
again.
Or a chalice.
I don't, man. I can't
Your championship watches?
Chalice is pretty dope, though. I mean, he's
championship
right there.
Watch?
Well, you can only wear two at one time, whereas rings, you know.
In hockey, that was a big thing. I don't know if it still is. In hockey, like in bowl games and also in hockey, the watch thing was big for a while in the 80s and 90s.
I like the watch thing. I like a chalice. I don't have anything against that. It feels a little like
it feel like everything you
grail,
come up with is from the Renaissance era. You want a scepter. You want a chalice. You think people are walking around with potion on them. How old are you?
Just never age. I'm actually 757 years
and
old.
And Nick's the one that drives a Buick. I'm very confused. I'm very confused.
Well,
right
carriages
now.
Are no longer available for me as transport.
Yeah.
So, you know, you got to make those decisions once they come around. I mean, that's the way we do these things. Rings have been around a really long time, so they seem both modern and old. I guess people don't still carry chalices.
Someone does says the World Series of Poker. You get the World Series of Poker bracelet. That's a big deal.
It's really not bad. My only fear.
I've never owned a bracelet. Have you owned a bracelet before?
No.
Yeah. Okay. Just checking.
I don't know, 1 week in middle school, very briefly, like everyone at that age, owned a puka shell necklace, but it didn't last long.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I
got. You should bring those back. I think.
Do you think we can make puka shell
necklaces
popular?
Will you wear a puka shell necklace at training camp?
With my Cody and Gold shirt?
The whole time.
Yeah, the whole time. Dude, make that your thing.
Tyron Matthews coming over for an interview, and Cody just did that. Like, hey, what do you
just
think
to
of my
do
puka?
It until somebody notices my...
Well, no, give them out. Have some for everybody. Oh, they'll all say no, but if one player says yes,
so
all
we're
of
bringing
a sudden,
them back, man. We're bringing back puka shell necklaces.
You've made a bond with the Chiefs player.
Oh, yeah.
It can't be broken.
Uh-huh. It's definitely... That's definitely going to happen.
It's like our friendship bracelets, but puka shell necklaces.
Why don't you test that and see if first ask.
I was never even a watch
Why don't you test
wear.
That with Whit Merrifield first? Why don't you see if he's on board with it first?
Whit absolutely at some point in his life wore a puka shell necklace. I won't even be afraid to ask him this next Monday. 1,000%.
Yeah.
Whit at some point in his life, I bet, based on age and all that, wore a puka shell
what
necklace.
What if you could get him to wear it during a game?
I'd rather get him to wear the Cody and Gold shirt, which way
in
I think we've hinted at,
yeah.
But he doesn't seem... You terribly receptive.
Yeah, you tried to hint, and he did a nice job of deflecting away from that without saying no. I think we had to leave that one alone at this point.
You just got to drop that one. But we can bring up the puka shells.
Definitely.
Why are these all, like, all these are like vintage.
Cell phone case.
An air pump needle.
For what? The needle? Not the air pump? Just an air pump needle?
I think that's a Tom Brady joke.
For the deflate.
I believe that's a deflate
gate. People are just going more into that.
Looks like I can buy a cheap puka shell necklace for like $3. $2.
Oh, yeah. We could get like 20 of them.
Yeah, they can get a bunch of them at that price.
Can we expense those out?
Probably. There's only one way to find out. I got to turn in mileage anyway, so I'll just add that puka shell necklace receipt. They'll be confused by the purchase choice.
Once you explain it to them, I think they'll be very receptive.
To be clear, around the time the Super Bowl happened, I did get reimbursed for a Kool-Aid Man necklace I purchased, so there's almost no way I can't ask for puka shell necklaces now. This is a show of necklaces.
Someone says, what if Whit gets traded before Monday? Will his segment be gone?
No.
We'll definitely want him on the show if that were to happen. So.
No. I'm going to force Whit to keep coming on the show, even if he's playing for the Rays. Mm-hmm. Whit, how's it going over there in Tampa Bay? Tell Brett I said hi.
Yeah, we'll just talk about other stuff is what would happen.
Yeah, it's just a matter it's a matter of decision.
All right, let's go out to St. Joe. Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes live here on 610 Sports Radio.
All right. Patrick, you hear us okay?
I can hear you.
Beautiful. We'll start first with Adam Teicher. Go ahead, Adam.
Hey, Patrick. I know you were optimistic about this at the end of OTAs, but just checking whether there'll be any restrictions on you physically going into camp. And also, can you share what you've been up to the last month or so since the end of OTAs to prepare in a football sense?
Yeah, I think there'll be no restrictions. I've been training, running, throwing, doing everything that I usually do. And I think that was what was so good about going to OTAs and doing those things is I tested it there. I realized I was good. And then when I got back with Bobby and started training in the off season with him, I was able to do what I normally would do.
Next to Herbie T.O.P. Go ahead, Herbie.
Hey, Patrick, how are you?
Doing good. How are you?
Hey, I'm well, thanks. In light of the NFL's memo yesterday to teams about the potential for canceled games and even potential forfeitures because of a COVID outbreak, I have a two-part question here for you. What was your reaction to that memo when it was made known? And then two, understanding it is a personal choice, but as a team leader, what is your message to the teammates?
As far as to the teammates, like I kind of said earlier in the offseason, it's your choice. Do whatever you think is best for you and your family. I don't let it become a distraction. We kind of go about business as we're trying to do whatever we can to win. And if you're not vaccinated, just be smart, wear your mask, try to limit your interactions with other people that aren't vaccinated, and try to make sure that you're ready to go whenever it's game time. And so, it's definitely a big deal with that coming out, forfeiting games. You never want to do that, but I think we have the guys in the locker room, that are either vaccinated or are going to be smart if they're not vaccinated, and not try to hurt the team in any way.
Let's go next to Sam McDowell. Good, Sam.
Hey, Patrick. The last time, I'll reflect on the end of last year, but I am wondering how much did that game stick with you throughout this entire offseason? Just kind of what were your objectives to accomplish during the offseason?
Yeah, I mean, I think it stuck with me for a couple weeks. But other than that, I mean, I just kind of started back growing, trying to get myself back to be in this position now where I can go into training camp fully healthy, and having the mindset of we're going to have to push to be even better this year. And you see every once in a while, the people still talk about it. I mean, you see the parade when you're in the offseason, you see the ring ceremonies and all that different type of stuff. But I think the best thing about getting to training camp is it all starts over. No matter what, how you ended the year before, you have to go in with the mindset of starting from scratch. And so we're excited to do that and try to make another run at it.
Let's go next to Aaron Ladd. Go ahead, Aaron.
Hey, appreciate the time here. You're a guy that does a lot of media, right? You're always on when you're tweeting, when you're not on. And I saw your online reaction to Naomi Osaka's decision kind of to step back from Wimbledon. Wonder how you deal with just being under a spotlight all the time and the media pressure that comes along with that.
I think I had a really advantage of seeing it when I was young. So I understood that it came with being a part of playing professional sports. But it is different for everybody. I actually got to watch her documentary, and I mean, she blew up extremely fast at a young age. And I think she did what she did because it helped her mental health, and it will help her in the future of how she plays the game of tennis. And so for me, I just try to keep things in perspective as best as I can. Understand that media is part of playing a professional sport. Y'all are doing y'all's job like I'm doing my job. And that at the end of the day, I'm trying to go out there and play the best football and be the best role model and representative of the Chiefs that I possibly can be.
Let's go next to Pete Sweeney. Good, Pete.
Hey, Patrick, crazy that we're entering what is going to be your fifth training camp, and you seem to always be able to maintain this competitiveness and this fire. What about this time of year gets you going and ready to turn it on for what is going to be the long haul?
I think it comes with the culture that we have in this locker room. When you're going up against guys like Tyrann Mathieu and Chris Jones every single day and they're talking trash, you kind of have to have that competitive spirit or you're going to get dominated on the practice field. So I think it just comes with the guys that you have around you. Don't take a day for granted. And I think we've learned that if we put in the work now, it will be at the end of the season where we want to be at. So it's about putting in the work right now, day by day, getting better and better so that at the end of the year, you have no regrets about what you did in the season.
Next is Seren Petro. Go ahead, Seren.
And I'll have a quick follow-up, Brad. First of all, just your reaction to Oklahoma and Texas, you being a Big 12 guy and everything and seeing that move, what's your reaction as a Texas Tech alum?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely going to be different. I mean, at the same time, we haven't been winning Big 12 championships here of recent. So we got to find a way to win games at Texas Tech and put ourselves in position to be in those big time bowl games or conference college football playoffs. But as far as Texas and Oklahoma leaving, I mean, they're doing whatever's best. They think's best for them. And I'm hoping that Texas Tech either finds a way to do something similar or find a way to build the conference back up so that when we compete and when we're winning games, we can have a chance to be in those playoff games.
And then I'm not asking any conversations you might have had with Aaron Rodgers, because I know you wouldn't say, right, even if you had. But here in Kansas City, people look at that and, you know, there's such a love affair this town with you and the organization seemingly with you. And it seemed like that existed with Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, and somehow it's gotten off track. Fans look at it and say, well, we don't want that ever to be the case with our guy, Patrick Mahomes. How do you look at it, being a guy who's at the, you know, beginning of his career or beginning to middle of his career, and seemingly it's all clicking, it's all working together. Is there any cautionary tale for you, for the organization and the staff there to make sure that relationship is always strong?
I think the biggest thing, and I can't speak for Aaron and the Packers, but I think the biggest thing when you look as an outsider, it's all about communication. It's all about respecting each other as a human being. And communicating with each other. I thought Aaron has played a long time for that organization, and at some point they lost that communication factor. And I think that's where the disconnect has kind of happened. And so for me and the Chiefs, I feel like if we just keep this open line of communication like we have from top down, and the team, to the coaches, to the Brett Veach, to Clark Hunt, I think there'll never be a problem. So I think it just comes with the culture that we build here of communicating with each other and respecting each other as people.
Let's go next to Nate Taylor. Go ahead, Nate.
Hey, Patrick, I have two questions for you. To start, there are a nice mix of new guys and some of the core guys that obviously you won a championship with. Just what excites you most about your leadership role and trying to get these two groups to sort of meld together during training camp? And then Brad, I'll have a follow-up.
Yeah, I think it started in OTAs and minicamp, bringing those new guys in. It's really cool because you get that energy boost, I think it is, of those guys are ready to go. They hadn't played in that – or some of Altoonie has, but a lot of those guys hadn't played in the Super Bowl or anything like that, so they want to make it there. And then having the culture that you've built with the guys and the core guys around us, you get to go in there and they see how we work every single day, and they have the energy that they're going to come do it as well. And I think – things like this, training camp at St. Joe's and all being together pretty much every single day, you keep building those relationships that have already been built a little bit. And I think it'll bring us together throughout this month of going out there and practicing every single day, but also eating every single meal together and building those relationships.
Yeah, and then secondly, I know Adam mentioned before about the foot and you saying that there should be no restrictions. I'm just wondering, from a training aspect, was there anything that you did differently based on just how you played last year, or was the training with Bobby more about just building on top of what you guys had done in previous years?
We definitely did a little bit more as far as mobility with the foot. We always do stuff with foot and ankle and knees and all that different type of stuff, but we did different stuff just to kind of keep that mobility going, strengthen that stuff that that I kind of lost. Whenever you go in to have any surgery, you're going to lose some mobility. And so we did some stuff like that before every single workout, but then once the workout started up, we kind of got rolling like usual. And the good thing about Bobby is he always has some new stuff for me. So he was doing things that he had learned over the year. And I think they worked out well, and I'm ready to go in training camp.
We've got time for two more. We'll go Brandon and then Matt. Go ahead, Brandon.
Hey, Patrick, thanks for the time. You might have just answered it, but looking back at training camp last year, the restrictions you had versus the time you guys have had up here in St. Joseph for training camp leading into the season, what are the advantages of getting away and doing training camp the way the Chiefs do?
I think the biggest thing, kind of like I talked about, is the relationships that you build. It's really cool to be somewhere where you're fully embraced in football. I mean, every single moment you're either meeting, you're working out, you're practicing, you're eating lunch with your teammates. It's just all football. So there's definitely an advantage to that, I think. And it gets you ready for the season of the ground that you're going to have to go through of several months of being day-to-day football and making sure that you're prepared for that.
We'll ask to Matt McMullen. Good, Matt.
Hey, Patrick. You mentioned how OTAs, those kind of things are beneficial, meeting the new guys, particularly the rookies. How beneficial is these three practices coming up where you're just around them, getting to know them better?
It's definitely beneficial. Building those relationships with those guys, I think them getting accustomed to, because the training camp's different, accustomed to how we practice at training camp, getting those first few days before all the vets get in, and then them getting those reps. Those things are critical. We go kind of through the first few installs with those rookies, and then they get to go right back through them whenever the vets get here. So they kind of get a little bit of a head start to try to prepare themselves for what we're going to do. And I've kind of built relationships over with those guys over the OTAs, the mini camp, and I've actually got to throw with them a little bit during this break. So they're guys that like to work hard, and so I'm excited to get them out here.
Patrick, we appreciate your time. Thanks for joining.
All right, Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes up in St. Joe, rookie and QB report day for the Chiefs in training camp. Coming up next, The Drive, you'll hear from Andy Reid live here on 610 Sports Radio.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
We're at
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.